Accession number 18480, Reel 1.
Alec Hawkins, Reel 1. Where were you born, please? Whereabouts were you born?
In Needham Market.
Which year was this?
In Suffolk.
Which year were you born? Which year?
1921.
Go to school and have your upbringing in Needham Market?
I went to school in Needham Market, yes.
How old were you when you left school?
16.
Did you get a job?
Yes. First of all, I was blacksmith assistant.
And then?
Then I went to St. James's, the sports club in St. James's Square in London, as a bellboy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what you were doing when war broke out?
No. I was back in Needham Market, and I was working for the errand boy for the Co-op Wholesale Society.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, I did. But I was in the Territorials, and we had just come back from camp. I think it was either Arundel Castle or Felma. We'd just come back from Fortnite's camp on the end of August to beginning of September. And we'd been home about a fortnight. And we got immobilised, do they call
yes.
it? And then we got put into the petrol camp at the petrol dump at Claydon, on guard there in 1939. That was just before war was declared.
When had you joined the Territorial Army? When?
I joined that in 1936.
Why did you decide to do that?
Well, nearly all the boys from Needham Market, they were in the Territorial Army. And I suppose that was just the fun of the thing at that time, being a soldier for holiday camps. And
what units did you join at Needham Market?
The one which I joined at Needham Market was the 4th Battalion of the Suffolk Regiment.
Did you get much training with the 4th Suffolks pre-war?
Oh, yes. We used to go about once a week to the drill hall in Stowmarket for training.
Was it enjoyable in the TA before?
Oh, yes. We had good times.
What type of skills did you learn before the war? Skills?
Well, I was an ordinary, at that particular time, the 5th Suffolks, the 4th Suffolks, they had the Vickers machine guns. And I was just a machine gunner. But after the war broke out, I went to Aldershot and done a course of the purification of water for drinking purposes.
How did you do that? How was the water purified?
Well, we used to use all different chemicals and different things like that, and I'd done a course down at Aldershot.
When you heard the news that Britain had declared war on Germany, how did you feel about it?
Well, I suppose that was one of the things we were expecting. You know, we expected it to come off. But me being a boy at that particular time, I think at that particular time, born 1921, I was only somewhere around about 20 years old. And I was not called a private, because you had to be over 21 to be a private. And I was under 21, and I was made called a boy. My rank was a boy, not private, a boy. Then when I got up to 21, then I got made private.
Did you feel any sense of dismay when you heard the news about war being declared?
No, we never. I mean, as I say, I was just a boy. I didn't, you know, that was just one of them things that we took in a stride, or at least I took in my stride.
So you've been demobilized. You've been mobilized in August.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you then?
Well, we were stationed at the Claydon petrol dump, what supplied the petrol through pipeline through to Watcham Aerodrome. And we were on guard there.
How long did that go on for?
Ah, that I can't tell you now. Several months, anyhow.
And where did you move to after that?
I moved then down to Stowmarket, and in private billets down in Stowmarket, although I only lived at Needham, 3 miles away, but I got moved down into private billets down in Stowmarket and got attached to the regiment. Then, being underage, they put us up on Watcham Aerodrome on anti-aircraft fire with the Lewis machine guns. There was two kinds. The Lewis had a belt and the Lewis had a pan. And we had a pan for anti-aircraft on this machine gun. And we were billeted up there in tents. We had our own tents stationed over different parts of the aerodrome. And then after then, my brother, which an elder brother could claim a younger brother in the same regiment as him. So my brother, being a sergeant in the 5th Suffolk, he claimed me in with him. So I got moved out to Wroxham on the Norfolk Broads.
To the 5th Suffolk?
With the 5th Suffolk.
Were the 5th Suffolk much different from the 4th Suffolk?
No, the thing of it was that the 4th Suffolk got overstrength. So they made the 5th Suffolk out of the 4th Suffolk.
And then what happened to you?
Well, we were stationed up on the Broads in different parts of Norfolk, Wroxham, Horning, all these different places. Watching, possibly on the Broads for, I suppose, the Germans coming in by boat. And we did different guard duties.
Did you think the Germans would invade?
Well, there was talk that they did invade. I know there'd been a lot in the papers about it, but there was talk when we were stationed in Norfolk that the Germans did invade, and the sea was set on fire out round the Yarmouth and Aldborough and all that area. But naturally, I haven't got any confirmation of that. But I mean, that was just hearsay.
Did you expect them to invade?
Oh yes, we expect them to invade after Dunkirk. We expect them to follow the troops back from Dunkirk, invade Dunkirk, or the retreat from Dunkirk. We expect them to come and follow the troops back from Dunkirk.
When France fell, did you expect Britain to give in or to fight on?
Oh, we expected Britain to fight on all the while. We knew full well that, you know, we wouldn't give over to the Germans. And, you see, there was a lot of talk about what the Germans had. They had these tanks made out of cardboard and imitation tanks and different things like that. But we didn't expect to give in anyhow.
Any experiences you had with the 5th Suffolks in the Norfolk Broads?
No, not really.
So what happened to you next?
And then we got moved from all over the place. We got moved up into Foulburn in Cambridgeshire. We got moved up to into Leominster. And that was where we went abroad from. Oh, we went up to Scotland, up to Hawke in Scotland. And then we moved back to Leominster in Herefordshire. And then that was where we went abroad from there. The King came out and visited us when we was on the Leominster Railway Station. He inspected all us troops. And we moved up there to Liverpool. And we was up in Liverpool, and we was in Liverpool when they got blitzed. Liverpool and Coventry got blitzed. And we were in a new housing estate. Us troops were all in a new housing estate, all these houses. And they wanted this houses, when Liverpool got blitzed, they wanted the housing estate to put the people in. Lost the houses, and they moved us into Hoyton, Prescott Park, under canvas. We were up in Prescott Park, and then I think I'm right in saying, I know that's right, in the October, they moved us from there to Liverpool to for us to go abroad.
Did any bombs fall near you in Liverpool?
No. All the while I was in England, I never saw any bombs fall.
So did you leave Liverpool in October 1941?
That's right.
Can you tell me about the voyage?
Yeah, we were on a little cargo boat. The Reina del Pacifico. She was about a 10,000 ton a cargo boat, and we were all in hammocks, sleeping in hammocks. We used to put them up at night time over our mess deck, and we sailed away from Liverpool in 1941, October 41, and we went out to Nova Scotia, where we were transferred onto the big American liners. And then we sailed away from Nova Scotia, and we went down to Jamaica, and we had to go so many miles south of Cape Town, because there was a nest of German submarines just off Cape Town. And then we had to go almost out the Arctic Circle. And then we had to come back into Cape Town to avoid the subs. Then we went up to, we had a good time in, the people in South Africa were very, very good. They invited each one of us, or two of us, to their homes and took us out for the day and, you know, for the while we were on shore leave. And as I say, they were very, very good. And then we went up to, we sailed up to Bombay. And when we got up to Bombay, they took us inland by train to a place called Ahmednagar in India. And we spent, I think we spent somewhere around about, we might have spent a month up there in a camp.
What was that like?
Bevan?
What was it like?
Oh, that was all right. That was a camp. That was just a sort of an army camp. And we were all right. And then they brought us back to Bombay. And we boarded the same ships as we got off, the American liners. So possibly the liners had been in Bombay Harbour for possibly a month. And then they told us that we'd got to go down to Singapore to meet up with the Japs. So,
how did you feel about that?
Well, not very nice at the time, but there again, you must realise that I was just still a boy. And this was just an experience with me. And then we got into Singapore. And then we were bombed as we got off the boat. But they were only small bombs, which the fighters used. And the pilot used to throw them over the side, just these small bombs. But there wasn't any damage done at that time. Yes, they bombed us as the ships pulled into Singapore Harbour. But they were only small bombs, which the fighter pilots threw over the side.
What ship did you arrive in Singapore?
Wakefield. That was the American wartime name, the Wakefield.
Was it a warship?
Oh, no, it was a passenger liner.
Were there any injuries from the bombing? Any casualties?
No.
What impression did you get of Singapore when you arrived?
Well, we didn't think somehow that we were going to lose Singapore. But the thing of it was that when we left England, we were the finest mechanised division in the British Army.
Which division was this?
The 18th Division, 54th Infantry Brigade. Excuse me. We were the finest mechanised division in the British Army. We were designed to go to the desert. And then we were, when we were sailing from Cape Town and coming round the back door of the desert, they transferred us across to Bombay and then to Singapore. And all our heavy equipment, which we'd got, I mean, we got anti-tank rifles there, which you could fire, I think they were 7 point something. You could fire them from a shoulder, and they'd do a tank at about 7 miles. But we got in the jungle, and you couldn't see 10 yards in front of you. So all our heavy equipment was no good whatsoever in the jungle. So all we had to rely on in the jungle was our feet and our little Bren guns.
So when you disembarked in Singapore, did you then immediately start fighting the Japanese?
No, we had about 10, well, there were about 10 days fighting. But we never come across really, where I was, I never really come across any Japanese at all. We were at one point at what they called Pungal Point in Singapore. And just across the water, might be half a mile, three quarters of a mile across the water, was a small island called Port Ubin. And we could see the Japanese walking about on the island. We could see them down in the water, swimming.
So did you do any firing against the Japanese?
No, we never done no firing against the Japanese at all. No.
Why not?
Well,
because you weren't close enough to them?
Not really, but we had to obey our company commanders, our officers and that. And we were given orders not to fire, you know, across the water. And that was the only time that I saw any Japanese, was on this little island at Port Ubin, across where we were. The next time I saw the Japs was when they come and took us prisoner.
What happened then when they took you prisoner?
Well, we were at a house. We'd taken over a house with a Y-shaped driveway. And we'd got a slip trench, the shape of a V in this driveway. And then they'd come up there, our officers come up there, superior officers sometimes, and they had the big white sheet draped all over the motor cars and everything, and said, that's it, you know. We've capitulated, and that's a lot. The Japs will be round to pick you up sort of fashion and that. Either dump your rifles, get rid of your rifles and Bren guns and goodness knows what. So we all threw them in the heap.
How did you feel about having to surrender to the Japanese?
Well, like at that particular time, my heart was sort of in my mouth sort of fashion, you know. But we didn't realise at that time how barbarous the Japs was going to be. You know, we thought that we were just going to be taken prisoner, and that was that. Then the Japs told us that I made a note down here, a few notes. The Japs told us that we had to get down to, from where we were, down and congregate at Raffles College. And we all congregated at Ravels College. And can't tell you how many there was, but we all congregated there. And we then had to march up to Changi Barracks. In other words, find our own way up to Changi Barracks. When we got up to Changi, they turned us off on this one big meadow, the mango swamps, with no food, no other clothing, only what we more or less got, and nothing to cover us up, and we had to make our own bivouacs, something to sleep under, cut the coconut leaves, make a thatch, cut the rubber trees the best way we could, four posts, you know, and see, we were up there. Just turned off like sheep. The old saying is, which I'd always believed in England before we went out there, that tins of food, which had been through the fire, were no good to you. But we were scrounging around all these trucks, food trucks which had been bombed and burnt out. We were searching through there for tins of food which had been burnt through the fire. We hadn't got anything else to eat. So we opened them the best way we could, made do with what we could, and we was eating this food, which tins of food, which had been through the fire.
Did it do you any harm?
Not that I know of. So we lived out there the best way we could, until such times as they moved us after the mix-up, you know, take the prisoners and moved us down to Bukatima at the Chinese High School. And there...
From Changi?
From Changi. From Changi, yeah. They moved us down, as I say, to the Chinese High School. And we used to have to go out and collect the scrap metal and the lorries, which had been bombed. And we used to tow them down to Singapore docks, down to Alexandra docks in Singapore, load them on the Japanese ships. And we were working from a Chinese high school, one day at the Ford's factory, another day moving this equipment down to the docks, another day we were working on overhauling lorry engines, and whatever job there was would come along. And possibly we were not too bad off there.
How were the Japanese treating you?
There we were pretty well. We were pretty well. Like everything else, we knew we were prisoners of war. We knew what kind of people the Japs were.